Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for September 3rd, 2010.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
Genetics and getting DNA from animals is absolutely critical to both their conservation and understanding so many aspects of the biology and ecology of the animals.
Pigeons, and in fact many other birds too, use their whole head instead of just the eyes to get the image on the eyes stabilized.
Peptides are very, very potent and often very specific for particular receptors, so they really hone in on a particular target site, but they tend to get broken down very easily.
This week, a new way to sample dolphin DNA, the pain-killing potential of sea snail venom, and beetles that are born with bifocal eyes. But first, Suzanne Bard answers a listener's question about pigeons.
Listener Hang Kwan Wu of Walnut Creek, California, wants to know why pigeons bob their heads back and forth when they walk. We asked neuroscientist Nico Troya of Queen's University in Canada. His lab videotaped the birds using high-resolution motion capture cameras and determined that the head bobbing is actually a visual illusion.
They are kind of walking visual illusions. So the head does make sudden forward movements, but it never moves back. So if you videotape a pigeon walking and then watch it in slow motion, that becomes very obvious. So what you will see is, in fact, that while the body of the pigeon moves constantly, the head remains locked in space for short periods of time and wouldn't move at all. Then the head would suddenly be thrust forward into a new position. We still seem to see this backward motion because we can't help but using the pigeon's body as a reference system for the motion of the head. So relative to the body, of course, the head does move backwards, but not relative to the environment.
Troya says this helps the bird spot small moving insects on the ground, which would be harder to do if it were constantly moving its head as it walked.
If a pigeon, or in fact anyone else as well, moves through its environment, the image that is captured by the eyes keeps changing all the time, of course. And for the visual system, it's not easy to retrieve information from such a constantly changing image.
He adds that humans and other mammals tend to move just their eyes to get a similar effect. But for many birds, it's more advantageous to use their entire head.
Turns out that the image stabilization obtained by fixating the head is a little more accurate than the one that you would obtain with eye movements. The improved image stabilization that head bobbing comes along with might provide a very significant advantage. And that is the main explanation for why pigeons and many other birds as well show head bobbing.
And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. That's 1-800-949-4748. If we answer your question on the show, we'll send you a Science Update mug.
Thanks, Suzanne. Speaking of vision, for some of us, bifocals are a rite of passage as we age. But scientists have now discovered the first known creature that's actually born with bifocals. It's the larva of a bug called the sunburst diving beetle. University of Cincinnati biologist Elka Bushback and her colleagues found that four of the larvae's 12 eyes have true bifocal lenses. Not only that, each of these bifocal eyes has two retinas as well.
Think of it as being two eyes in one. So it's really that they can see with those two regions in the eye simultaneously.
That's an advantage over our bifocal glasses. Since human eyes have only one retina, we have to alternate between the lenses depending on our needs. Bushback says the beetle retinas are sensitive to different light wavelengths and set at different distances from the lenses.
It turns out that one of them will see greenish light best, and the other one will see UV light best.
She says their bifocal eyes probably help them spot and catch prey, though it's not clear exactly how. Next, nature produces many substances that are useful to humans, and we've really only scratched the surface of what's possible. Suzanne investigates how snail saliva may someday be used as a potent painkiller.
Cone snails catch fish by injecting them with a powerful venom found in their saliva. Now scientists in Australia have developed a pain-blocking peptide from the venom that can be given orally. Peptides are small proteins, and University of Queensland chemist David Craik says the main hurdle was keeping the peptide, called conotoxin, from being broken down by digestive enzymes.
Peptides are very, very potent and often very specific for particular receptors, so they really hone in on a particular target site, but they tend to get broken down very easily.
Since digestive enzymes target the ends of a peptide strand, Craik's team fused the ends together to strengthen it.
And if you join the ends in a peptide bond, then essentially you completely remove those termini, and so you've now got a peptide that's impervious to a major class of enzymes.
When given to rats with neuropathic pain, the altered snail peptide worked as well as gabapentin, currently considered the gold standard drug for treating the condition.
The exciting thing about the molecule is that we compared it head-to-head with gabapentin, which is used by millions of people around the world, but it does have a number of side effects and it doesn't work in all patients, and so there's a great need for new and improved treatments. And so we compared our molecule against gabapentin and found that at a dose that was 100-fold lower, we got effectively the same pain-relieving effect.
The researchers hope to apply for human trials soon.
Thanks, Suzanne. Obtaining DNA samples from whales and dolphins usually involves an invasive technique called a dart biopsy.
And so basically you use either a crossbow with the large whales or a gun that has a plastic dart in it with a little barb in the tip, and that takes a plug of skin out of the animal.
That's Georgetown University biologist Janet Mann.
Genetics and getting DNA from animals is absolutely critical to both their conservation and understanding so many aspects of the biology and ecology of the animals.
Mann's been studying bottlenose dolphins in Shark Bay, Australia for 23 years. Now, she and her colleagues are testing a new, less invasive method for sampling their DNA. She says, like all cetaceans, dolphins breathe through blowholes on the top of their heads. When they come to the surface, they exhale through their blowholes, which also expels a small amount of DNA.
They are air-breathing animals. They have to come to the surface to breathe. And so we're just capitalizing on that natural behavior. You just have a long pole with a big petri dish attached, and then you hold it out and try to get it over their blowhole.
She says the new method will allow repeated sampling of the same individuals and will work for sampling young dolphins, which isn't possible using the dart biopsy method.
Young animals move very fast and you're at much greater risk of harming them. Young animals might be really important for understanding the genetics of the population because they may well die before you can sample their genetics. So you might be getting a really biased sample of what's in the population by only sampling older animals. So you want to find ways that you can sample young animals.
Mann says if it proves successful for sampling dolphin DNA in the wild, the technique could be used for collecting DNA from a number of whale and dolphin species, as well as the endangered dugong, a relative of cetaceans. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we'll tell you about an intriguing new hypothesis about the origin of life on Earth, and about some tenacious bacteria that protect weaker bacteria. Until then, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.